whether you realize it. Can you hear me now? It's still loud. I bet they had that turned way up for Gomez this morning. That's what that was. Amen. Whether you realize it or not, that's good stuff. Amen. I think we are, you can turn me back up just a little bit, Brother James. I think we are very fortunate people that we don't just come here and go through some form and a fashion, sing three songs and have a little sermonette from a preacherette and go to the house and be eaten by 12. Yeah. Glad it's not that way. Amen. Glad I'm not in control. I'm glad He is. Amen. Amen. I thank God for that. I thank Him for His goodness, but boy, I sure thank Him for His presence in our church. Amen. To take your Bibles this morning, turn with me to the book of 1 Kings. 1 Kings, that would be right before the book of 2 Kings. Amen. 1 Kings, chapter number 17. 1 Kings, chapter number 17. And I'm going to read some familiar scripture this morning, but preached from it many times, but maybe this morning just a little bit different thought. 1 Kings chapter number 17. Y'all say amen when you get there. Amen. Amen. I appreciate the good singing this morning. What a blessing. The Bible said in 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse number 1, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall be no dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, and he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan, and the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And I'm going to stop reading right there. Read verse 4 one more time with me. The Bible said, and it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Sometime when you have time, I think there's just 24 verses, but why don't you read the entire chapter of 1 Kings, chapter number 17. And I did it twice this morning, just reading through it. And I would have to say that the entire chapter, the subject matter, is God using and taking care of His servant. That would be the subject matter all through here. And we see when he goes to the widow's house and how the barrel of meal didn't waste. It just kept giving and kept giving and kept giving, and the cruse of oil didn't run out. And the Bible said they ate on it many days. The man of God was doing the will of God. Amen. And God was sustaining and caring for His servant. Whether you realize it or not, you and I have something in common with Elijah. Now, boy, that's amazing to say I've got something in common with Elijah. One of the greatest prophets that lived. Man, what a preacher, what a mighty, mighty man of God. But I found that I've have something very much in common with Elijah. And I don't care what your background is, your color, your creed, your educational level, your financial status. I don't care what it is. We all have something in common with one another this morning. You know what that is? We all have needs. You understand that? We all have needs. People come in my office all the time. Preacher, I need help with this. I need help with that. You know what? Sometimes we counsel with people because they have emotional needs. Amen. I had an emotional need this morning. I needed some sugar from my wife. You laugh, but I got some too. Amen. Can you imagine living with somebody year after year after year after year after year and never a caress, never a touch? God made us that way. We have that need. Is that right? Then I had a spiritual need this morning, and the Lord came by during the singing and just filled that need. Amen. We've got all kind of needs. Sometimes we have physical needs, but we've all got needs. How many of you got a need this morning? I'm not talking about a want. I'm talking about a need. There is a difference. There is a difference between what you want and what you need. Because some things I want, I don't need. And some things I need, I don't want. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
Amen. My wife and I went for her birthday up to Lake Wise and stayed at Brother D's place on the lake up there. And boy, we had a wonderful time. And we was paddling the kayaks around. And everywhere we looked on the lake was places for sale. I don't need that, but I sure did want it. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Amen. I don't need it, not one little bit. Got more than I can handle now, but I sure did want it. Amen. There's a difference between our needs and our wants. And I want to preach to you on this little thought this morning. I asked them to sing this song, but they said they really couldn't do it without Levi. But that little song Katie and Ashley and Levi and Brother Todd sing, He's taking care of me. He's taking care of me. Can I just brag on Him a few minutes this morning and say, I serve a God. I said, I serve a God. I serve a God who is taking care of me.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And I'm a handful. Amen. Amen. I've got good news for you. You say, preacher, I got a need. I got good news. I got a God for your need. Amen. I guarantee you He's bigger than your problem. I promise you He is. I promise you He's taken care of much greater than what you're wrestling with this morning. We serve a God who can meet our needs. I don't know how many of you experienced it or even knew what was going on in the service a while ago when the Holy Ghost of God manifest Himself in this place. The Lord said, if I go, I'm going to send another comforter. And I thought about this. Now, I thought about it several weeks ago and hadn't had the chance to really develop it. But Ashley's babysitter couldn't keep Hayden one, I think it was a Wednesday. I'm not sure. And she called me and she said, Daddy, can you keep Hayden? I wish that boy was potty trained. I do. But I said, yes, I'd be glad. I'd be glad to babysit. And while I was watching Hayden that day, I thought, you know, that's exactly what the Holy Spirit's doing for us. You ever babysit a two-year-old? You don't rest. You follow that little sucker everywhere he goes. Ashley said, he'll take a nap around 11 o'clock, not at my house. No, no. 11 o'clock, he's just getting crunk up. I mean, that boy's wide open. And you follow him around. Hayden, 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 Hayden. Where you at now, boy? Hayden, 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 Hayden. And you don't follow him around because you're doing it for your health. You know what you're doing? Your job as a babysitter is to make sure that he stays out of trouble.
Amen.
Amen. I got to missing him. He took off. I mean, I just turned around for a second. He was gone. I went flying through the house. He was in the kitchen, was dragging stuff out from under the kitchen sink. I said, boy, there's stuff in there to kill you. Get out of there.
Yeah.
Isn't that just like the Holy Spirit with us?
Right.
He has to follow us everywhere we go. If he turns his back 1 minute, we're in trouble. If he turns his back 1 minute, hey man, you let Hayden go outside, that boy will be in the road. They're doing some work on the power lines by our house, and I mean they got humongous tractors out there, big old backhoes and big old tractors, and I mean, boy, they're just massive, and Hayden is in awe of them. And they way out there. For a two-year-old, it's way out there. Angie had him out there the other Saturday and was washing her car. She turned around, he was gone. He done took off out on them power lines going out there to get on that tractor.
Yeah.
Huh? Sometimes what a baby, you know, they don't think nothing hurt them.
If we let that boy out that back door, he'd be out there in that pool. Guaranteed. When he comes to the house, we deadbolt the door. I'm serious. Because he'll stand right there in the kitchen and say, pool, 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 pool. He wants to go. And he'd get in it right now. We have to lock the gate. Not because we're depriving him of what he wants, but we're protecting him from something that has the potential to kill him. Amen. Amen. Aren't you glad we got a babysitter? Yeah. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that he steps in every now and then and says, no, no. Yeah. No, no. Sometimes we're hating. That ain't enough, though. Mm-mm. No, no. He's going right on. He's got his mind set on it. No hating. No hating. He got his little old, he called it cartoon cars. He got his little old car over at the house the other day, and he is bound and determined. I had that little movie, Cars, he was watching at the cartoon, and he wanted to get that car and race it on the TV screen. I mean, he was vroom, vroom, all over the house. Vroom, vroom. And he went toward that TV, and he knew better. Before he done it, he looked over his shoulder like that. I said, I see what's in your head, boy. Don't even think about it. He grinned like that. Little devil. Looked at me, just smiled and went. I said, boy, I told you no. He didn't quit. I went like that. And boy, he dropped the car on the floor and started shaking, lip quivered. Then he come over and crawled up on the couch with me. You know what I did, don't you? Yeah. It's okay. Isn't that just like the Holy Spirit with us? Some of you ought to be a little bit thankful this morning. Hey, he says no, 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 no. And sometimes he has to get a little harsh, and sometimes he has to get a little bit rough. But as soon as he does, then he pulls us up in his arms and loves on us a little bit and says, I still love you, and it's going to be okay. Thank God, thank God, thank God we're being kept by him. Amen. We all got needs. Every one of us. And they're many-sided. We got all kinds of needs. Amen? But I don't know if you'll notice Elijah here. His need arose from doing what God told him to do. Amen. You ever caught that? Yeah. What brought about his need was just from doing what God told him to do. I don't know who tried to give us the idea that if we'll get in church and we'll accept the Lord as our Savior, we won't never have any more problems. Sometimes we have needs and sometimes we have problems because we are in church and because we are saved and on our way to heaven and because we do fight a real devil and we do have real battles. And sometimes our being spiritual is what brings the need on to begin with. But just like a good babysitter, do you know what a babysitter does? He feeds that young'un. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Hayden got a little chair that he sets in at our house, and it's got that car on it, that Lightning or Speed or whatever its name is. And I had a pack of Ritz crackers, and I laid down on the floor beside him. He's sitting in the chair and had his little sippy cup. I'd give him a cracker. He wouldn't even take his eyes off that TV. He'd sit there and eat that cracker, and he'd go. Never even look over. He watching them race cars. He'd finish that cracker, drink him some juice, and hold out his hand. Huh? You know what Papa's going to do, don't you? Going to make sure that boy eats. Amen? God said, Elijah, I'm going to send you down there by the brook, but I ain't going to send you down there to starve, son. You just go where I tell you, and I'll sustain you. I'll feed you there. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Don't tell me God can't meet our need. Especially when we're trying to serve Him. Especially when we're trying to do right. Especially when we're putting Him first in our life. God has a way. Hey man, if He can send a flock of crows by to feed a man of God, He can take care of that jobless situation you're in. Hey, if He can send a crow by to bring a sausage biscuit to a preacher. No, it wasn't sausage. He is a Jew. It probably a turkey biscuit. Amen. Chicken biscuit. Well, it just hit me. They didn't eat no pigs. Amen. If God can do that. Hey, if God can do that. Hey, you think He loved Elijah better than He loves you? You know what He said? He said He is no respecter of persons. You know what that means? That means He don't put one above another. Amen. That means you as high up as the preacher with God. You let that sink in real good. Somebody said, preacher, would you pray for me? I wonder if you prayed for yourself. Amen. You're just as connected as I am if you're saved. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Our needs come in all kind of shapes and sizes and situations. His need arose in verses 9 through 12 where the widow woman was. There was an uncontrollable situation. Sometimes we get ourselves in a place of need because we've been disobedient and we've messed things up. You ever got yourself in a financial mess? And then once you got through it, you swore you would never do it again? And guess what? You did. And you swore if you ever got out of that one, you'd never do it again. God got you out of that, and guess what you did? You did it again. Amen. Huh? It's because you had wants, not needs. Amen. But this lady and her son was in an uncontrollable situation because she had done nothing wrong, but because of the wickedness of those around her. God caused it not to rain because of Ahab and Jezebel. Hey, listen. If you've been faithfully serving God, this economy mess ain't your fault. You said you think God's got anything to do with it? Everything to do with it. I think it's the wickedness of our nation. Amen. So you know what God's doing? God's taking our God away from us. That little phrase across your dollar bill, in God we trust. There was a time when that meant something different. But now that God that it's talking about is the paper it's printed on. Amen. I'm going to get sidetracked here, I know it. I was coming home on the airplane Thursday. I went up and Brother Barry says, tell everybody hello. And we had a great service. But I was flying home Thursday and this man and woman sat down beside me and I had the window seat and then she was in the middle and the husband sat on the end I heard him saying something about Iraq, and I couldn't help it. I said, he wasn't a soldier. He had a ponytail. I don't think they allow him to have ponytails. Anyway, he had a ponytail. And I said, what, you been to Iraq? He said, yes, sir, that's where I work. I said, really? Now, he's something logistics, whatever that means. But he began to tell me all about that. And I was just real inquisitive and listening and asking him how it was over there and all that stuff. And then his wife piped in, and she said, what do you do? I said, I'm a preacher, ma'am. Yep. She said, really? She said, what kind of preacher are you? I said, a loud one. That's what I told her. And she laughed, and her husband leaned over and said, I bet he's Baptist, ain't you? I said, yeah. That means I'm not just loud, but I'm long, too. Hey, man. She said, what are you doing in Pennsylvania? Anyway, I told her I was up, helped start the church up there and all this, and she just got all interested. And then she got quiet for a few minutes. She said, may I ask you one more question? I said, what's that, ma'am? She said, is this Armageddon? That's what she said. I said, are you asking her, are we in the tribulation? She said, yes, sir. You think that's what's going on? I tried not to laugh. But she was sincere. I said, no, ma'am. This is not the tribulation. She said, well, what's going on? I said, here you and I sit, drinking ice water, 30,000 feet in the air, on a Boeing 747. You're flying home to see family in Texas. I'm going home to my family. Probably go out to eat as soon as I get there. I said, our problems is we don't know what tough is. I said, if the Great Depression wasn't the tribulation, this sure ain't. And I said, by the way, ma'am, if you're saved and you know Christ as your Savior, I said, you ain't got to worry about it anyway. Amen. I said, I'll tell you what, sis. I said, I'll tell you what. If all of a sudden you look around and I'm gone. I said, that'll be the tribulation. And I said, but I advise you, I'd make sure I'd be gone too. Sometimes our needs come from uncontrollable situations. You can't do nothing. She couldn't do nothing about that drought. She had done satisfied. She was going to pick up a couple of sticks and make a little old cake out of that little bit of meal she had. She heard her son was going to eat it, and she said, then we're just going to die.
Yeah, come on, bro.
Totally out of my... Hey, why worry about what you can't fix?
Right.
You can't fix America. I don't care what they say on the television. I don't care what them financial gurus say. And by the way, we ain't got financial gurus. They're financial idiots.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Absolutely goofy in their head. You can't do nothing about it. You ain't going to fix this. And by it ain't fixing to get better neither. I'm just afraid. I hate it, but I'm afraid it's not. It might if America would wake up and realize that the answer and the hope is not in Washington.
Yeah.
It's not in the White House. It's at God's house.
Yeah.
Amen. You can't control it, so quit fretting over it and just trust the Lord.
Amen.
You know what Elijah told that woman? He said, she said, I'm fixing to make a little cake. Me and my son's going to eat it and die. He said, well, I'll tell you what, make me some first. Make me some first. She said, you don't understand. It's all I got. We're going to eat it, and we're going to die. He said, yeah, I know. I got the picture, but make me some first. He said, God done told me, if you take care of me first, that meal ain't going to run out. And that oil ain't going nowhere till it rains again. You know what she did? She went and made him some first.
Yes.
Wow. Maybe we ought to be putting God first, you reckon?
Yes.
Wonder if God might meet our needs a little bit more if we gave Him the place He deserves in our life, and that's top seat, top notch. Put Him on the throne of our heart, and we put God first in everything. You know what He said? He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, then all these things will be added to you.
Yes,
amen. Amen. We wonder why God ain't blessing, because we ain't got God where He goes.
Amen.
God don't sit in nobody's back seat. He don't even set shotgun. He's driving or he ain't going.
Yeah.
Amen. Uncontrollable situation. Sometimes our needs arise out of that. Then sometimes it's just some untimely sorrow. This woman comes and tells Elijah down toward the end of the chapter, said, my son, he's dead. My little boy, she said, oh man of God, what are you doing here? She thought he brought all this on. Elijah said, where's that boy? And he took him up in his arms, and the Bible said the breath had gone out of him. His soul had left him. He was dead. And Elijah took him up in the upstairs bedroom, laid him down across the bed, and laid across him three times, and prayed and asked God to put his soul back in him. And the Bible said the boy arose. When that man of God left that house, I guarantee you there was a woman down there in Zarephath raising a boy on her own And I bet they never doubted God again in their life. She said, my goodness, we was about to starve to death. We was going to eat that little piece of cake and die. The preacher man came to town. I've done what he said, and that stuff never did run out. Then my boy died, and his soul left him, and the man of God prayed for it, and he got up again. You know what she did? I believe she said, I believe God.
Yeah.
Amen. You know, it's kind of like, well, if he done that, what can't he do? But we're so stinking human, ain't we? We still doubt him again and again. After what I've seen him do with Ashley, I shouldn't doubt nothing. Seen him heal cancer, I shouldn't doubt him for nothing. I tell you one even bigger than that. After knowing he saved my sorry soul, if he can do that, he can do anything. Amen.
Amen.
There's many sides to our needs. But then there's a marvelous supply from our God. Are you listening to me? Your need may have caught you off guard and left you standing there with your chin on the ground. But you know what? You ain't surprised God. When they walked in and unexpectedly laid you off that morning, hey, God saw that coming. God saw that coming. Hey, listen, man, thousands of years. I don't know if it's thousands. I don't know how many years it was from creation up to Elijah, but pretty good while. A long time before there was ever an Elijah. God took his finger and said, we're going to need a creek right here. We're going to need a little brook right here. Because way on down the road, I got a man of God. Going to need some water out of that brook. So you know what God did? God supplied his need before he ever needed it. God didn't say, go down there in the valley and I'm going to make you a creek. He said, no, you go down there, the creek's already there. What are you saying? I'm saying his supply is already there. He told him, go down to Brook Cherith. He said, and I'll feed you there. So my problem is, our needs done been met. It's done been taken care of. We just ain't there. Are you listening to me? We got to get where God is if we want what God has. My dear friend, hadn't seen him in years, Brother Reuben Fields. Black preacher up in the hills of Kentucky. He always told this story when he would come to our home church, and I've always tried to remember it. I know I've told it to y'all, but he said, serving the Lord is kind of like this. He said, the Lord has a bin over here. He said, and I have a bin over here. He said, and I take my shovel and I shovel it in the Lord's bin. He said, then the Lord takes his shovel and shovels it into my bin. He said, then I takes my shovel and I shovel it back in the Lord's bin. He said, then the Lord takes his shovel. And somebody said, wait a minute, preacher. All you doing is moving dirt back and forth. He said, oh, no. Oh, no, child. What you don't understand is the Lord's shovel so much bigger than mine. Amen. I'm saying if God ain't got it, we don't need it. Hallelujah. The answer may be on the way. Don't quit now. Why? His supply is vast. Amen. I'll never forget. I always look, and I'm fixing to quit. I'm going to give you the rest of this tonight. I always look for this place when I'm flying into Atlanta. Right there by our house, those jets, you can look up any time, day or night, they're circling, waiting to land at Hartsfield in Atlanta. One Saturday, we were in the process of trying to buy this place. I was about to have ulcers and migraines and nervous breakdowns and all that. I mean, I didn't even know how many zeros was in a million. I couldn't comprehend it. Kind of like them nuts up there in Washington trying to figure out how many zeros is in what we owe. Amen. I looked out the plane window while we were waiting to land. I looked out the window and lo and behold, here sat this church. And I thought, wow, that's that building we're trying to buy. And the Holy Ghost said, don't look like much from here, does it? You worried about that little spot? And I held my thumb up. Completely hid this whole place. My thumb covered up 4 acres, 3 buildings. Over $1 million worth of debt gone. And the Holy Ghost said, how you think it looks from here? If it's that small at 15,000 feet, how do you think it looks from the throne of heaven? What the Lord was saying, I own the whole shooting match, top to bottom, all the way around, every ocean, every mountain, every river, every stream, and I own that little spot you got your thumb covered up with. I think I can handle it. I like to have a Holy Ghost Nazarene Pentecostal shouting fit on the airplane. I'm sitting there looking out that window. I said, woo! Everybody looking. It might help you when you realize how big God's supply is. And how small your problem looks to Him. He's parted seas for His children to walk across on dry land. He's covered them by day with a pillar of cloud, led them and warmed them by night with a pillar of fire. He's rained biscuits out of heaven and fed His children, several million of them. They got tired of biscuits, so He had a bunch of quail just fall down at their feet and die. That's a bunch of quail, man. I mean, we're thinking a few birds. No. No. This would make a bird dog lose his mind. Can you imagine just saying, I sure am tired of biscuits. I sure would like to have some chicken. And about 5 million chickens fall in your yard. You laughing, but He done that. So as I'm standing here hollering at you this morning, He done that. God done that. I said, God done that. Yeah. You know what? We got a thing at the house called a pantry. That's a closet where you put groceries. It's a closet where you put groceries. You know what's in that closet? There's some Doritos in there. Both kinds. Regular and Cool Ranch. Just, and I'm going to have them when I get to the house. Just as sure as God rained manna from heaven, just as sure as God had them quail flop out on the ground, God put them Doritos in my pantry so I could eat. Hallelujah. What are you saying? I'm saying He's supplying my needs. Ain't many of y'all look too hungry yourself. You got some Doritos too, don't you? Pack of bologna. Probably. Some mayonnaise. Boy, y'all getting hungry, ain't you? Some Colonial white bread. We doing all right, ain't we? We've all got a needs. But I'm glad He's taking care of me. I'm glad He's taking care of me. Now listen, tonight, if you'll come back, I want to give you the formula or the method of obtaining your needs from God. If God's got it and I need it, how do I get it? That ought to interest us. If God's got it and you know He's got it, and you realize how great you need it, we ought to be trying to figure out how to get it. You say, will God withhold His blessings? He sure will. He's backed off from me a time or two. Brother Todd, y'all come, if you would, and get us a song. Now listen carefully. How many of you ever stopped at the Chevrolet place and opened the door on one of them new trucks and stuck your head in there? Y'all know what I'm talking about? How many times you ever sat down at your kitchen table or laid in the bed at night with a pen and a pad of paper, trying every way in the world to figure out how you could go get it? Come on. The rest of you lying. Well, if I do this and I did that and I worked a little harder here and a few more hours there, I could make the payment. We'll drive ourselves crazy trying to figure out how to get what we can't pay for. But then we give no effort to trying to figure out how to get something from God that's already paid for. Amen. Hope you'll come back tonight. Let's stand to our feet this morning. They're going to sing in just a second. We'll have a verse of invitation. Before they sing, let me give you the opportunity to think about yourself just for a minute. Let's just bow our heads this morning and close our eyes. Nobody looking around. There's probably somebody here this morning, and your greatest need is simply Jesus. You've never trusted Christ as your Savior. If you died right where you stand, you'd bust hell wide open. Man, how foolish. When He's already paid for your ticket, all you've got to do is accept it. I wonder if that's you this morning. I'd like to pray for you. I wouldn't come to you. I wouldn't embarrass you for nothing. I'd just like to pray for you. If you'd slip up your hand and say, preacher, I'm not saved. If I died right now, I'm not sure heaven would be my home. Please pray for me. Anybody? You just stick your hand up and slip it right back down. I just want to pray for you. Anybody? What about this? Preacher, I know I'm saved. There's no doubt in my mind. And I do have some needs in my life. Help me pray that I'd trust God for them. That I'd put Him in His rightful place. Anybody like that besides me? I got my hand up. God bless your hearts. Let's pray together. Father, as we come before You again this morning, thank You, Lord, for being so good to me. Lord, when I don't deserve even the breath going in and out of my body, Lord, I just want to say to God be the glory. Great things He hath done. Thank You, Lord. Thank You for meeting my needs. Lord, You've taken such good care of me. You've spoiled me is what You've done, Lord. I love You, and I thank You. Lord, You saw every hand that was raised. Lord, You know every heart. Please, Lord, help our people to understand I'm not making light of their situation. God, I pray for them every day that they'd find jobs and, Lord, things would turn around for them. Lord, I just want them to realize that whatever it is they need, You got it. Lord, if they'd just come to You for it. Father, help them this morning. God, we'll give You glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.